My name is Gabby Fraser. I'm 16 years old. Today is the 1st of December, and I'm speaking with Simon Fraser, who is my dad. We're in Jersey City, New Jersey. So, Dad, introduce yourself. Hello.
Hi, my name is Simon Fraser. I am a 51-year-old comic book artist, and I was born in Scotland.
Yes, great. So that's actually my first question. So you're a comic artist, which I imagine was a childhood dream of yours, because it's kind of...
Probably from the age of 16, yes.
Yeah. So is there anything in your life as a comic artist that's different than what you imagined when you were younger?
I would say that I've gotten to travel a lot more than I ever expected to. That's a nice thing. Mm-hmm. Through conventions, through my various life choices, I've managed to go and see a lot of the world, and I'm very happy about that. What are things I expected? It's probably less well paid than I expected. apart from that, it's pretty much what I wanted for my life.
Yeah. So when did you find out that that's what you wanted to do?
Probably when I was about 16, when I started to seriously think about what I wanted to do, because mm-hmm. before that point, I was kind of expected to be an engineer. Everyone just thought, well, he's going to be an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, I kind of went along with that because I didn't really think about it too hard.
Mm-hmm.
But then I kind of started thinking, what do I actually enjoy? What do I want to spend my life doing? And engineering kind of sounded a bit dull to me. And I really like drawing, and I really like comics, and I really like telling stories. So I thought, well, that sounds like much more fun. And then I had to persuade my parents that that was a good idea.
Right, yeah. So in general, it can be career, family, or whatever. What are you proudest of, in your life?
Well, you.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'm proud of my work. I'm proud of my general achievements in life. I think I've done pretty well for myself, generally speaking. Not strictly financially, but certainly in terms of my family and all the things that are important to me. I'm pretty happy about that.
Mm-hmm. So how would you like to be remembered?
By the people that knew me as a good guy. I'd like my work to be remembered, though I don't have high expectations of that.
Why not?
Because paper just lasts, a certain amount of time.
Right.
And work becomes old-fashioned after a while. Things move on, and there are fashions and fads. I think people, culture tends to move forward. And things like comic books, unless you're made into a major movie or something, or a TV series, things tend to get lost. So I don't expect to be remembered for very long after I die, but it'd be nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It doesn't really affect me, though, that's the thing.
Yeah. So do you, in general, with writing and work to be remembered, do you think that's particularly important?
I think it's important to do good work. And I think a side effect of that is that people feel strongly about it. And if you're lucky, maybe a couple of generations feel strongly about it and it picks up into the culture. As it is, maybe I've got a generation of people who read my work who'll enjoy it, who maybe pass it on to their kids, but probably not. So I don't expect much more than to be remembered for what I've done in the short term.
Mm.
We'll see.
Okay. Well... were there any teachers who had a particular impact on you and influenced you?
Sure. The first art teacher I remember was a guy called Alistair McMorran. He used to come once a week to my primary school. And I was in a very small primary school. There was only 20 kids. Mm-hmm. And Alistair McMorran would show up every week from Kinyusi on a motorcycle. And he was the coolest guy. Anyone had ever knew, and he was very exciting when he showed up because he was a very cool guy anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of laid back, and it was he was our art teacher, and he made art really interesting, and he was a very inspiring figure.
Hmm.
I have since thanked him as an adult for his influence.
Yeah. Have you been always good at art, or has it always been something you've been passionate about?
When my mum had babies, she read a book called Dr. Spock's Childcare, something Childcare, which is a very fashionable book in the 60s for childcare, and had lots of interesting advice. And one of the things it says is basically give your children creative tools and let them draw,
mm-hmm.
and paint and do all sorts of creative things, because it expands their minds. which I completely agree with. And it did, because there aren't really any artists in my family before me.
Right.
There are a few people who are quite handy. Mm-hmm. My dad was quite handy. He could do lots of things and was quite creative in his way, but he wasn't really artistic.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the first generation, and that's because my mom gave me pens and pencils and crayons and let me draw when I was young.
Yeah, I guess, and your brother's an architect too, so I guess that also
was a creative thing.
Mm-hmm.
Was unleashed.
Yeah. So you've also immigrated to the U.S. You're originally from Scotland.
Yes.
With me, I mean, you immigrated with me and my mom. And
yes.
Is there, like, because obviously I was way too young to remember anything, so it wasn't really an adjusting period.
Mm-hmm.
Was there, like, anything that was, like, hard to adjust to when you first came?
I would say we were pretty well warned. I mean, we'd been traveling a lot before that. We'd lived in like 5 or 6 countries before we came to the U.S. So we knew we were getting into. We came here from Kenya and before that Tanzania.
Mm-hmm.
So going to the U.S. was kind of like coming back to Europe to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
And it was English language, so that was much easier for me.
Right.
I already was well aware of American culture. We'd spent some time in America over the years, like, you know, holidays and stuff.
Yeah.
So I think we were pretty well informed about what to expect.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up with Sesame Street when I was young, and you don't realize how New York Sesame Street is until you come to live in New York, and it's like, wow, this is Queens. Sesame Street is in Queens, and it's like, you really sort of like, oh my God, and it prepares you quite well for things, for living in America. So it was the least culture shock I think I could imagine anywhere, moving anywhere.
Yeah. How was it, like, different from, like, growing up in Scotland? Because they're both, like, obviously English-speaking countries, so the language wasn't a barrier, but...
Very different mindset here.
Mm-hmm.
Scotland is a... When I left, Scotland was quite dark. Culturally, it feels very different. It's quite aggressive, Scotland, comparative to America, and that seems weird to say.
Mm-hmm.
I have a sort of sixth sense for trouble, which I got when I was a kid, when I was living in Edinburgh as a kid, because you could get into a lot of trouble going the wrong place at the wrong time of night, or you're dealing with drunk people and just getting beaten up.
Mm.
And when I was young, that was always a problem. It was always like, be wary of what you're doing with yourself. And I was expecting America to have that feeling of danger, because again, Kenya was also like a bit kind of like, you had to be careful where you go, because it was scary. And I thought moving to New York would be scarier than it was. But actually, New York is a very peaceful place.
Yeah.
It's very chill. I really never got the sense of danger here than I have at other places in the world.
So do you think that was more, like, related to the time period or the area? Like, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's time period. I think things have changed a lot. But I think the cultures are quite different.
Mm-hmm.
And people think that because America is full of guns, that it's very violent, which it can be, but it's a different kind of violence. It's a different kind of feeling in the air. People express their frustrations differently here. And I think Americans are, generally speaking, very nice people.
Mm-hmm.
I may not agree with them all the time, but they're very nice people.
Mm-hmm. Right. So do you think, I mean, now, would you prefer to live in America or in Scotland?
I'm thinking about that right now. I don't know. I'm not sure if I want to grow old in America. I don't think that's at the moment, as things sit with healthcare and the way standard of living and so forth, it's like, I'm not sure I want to get old here.
Right.
I think I prefer to go somewhere where the infrastructure is stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be a more simple, plus I, you know, my own mother is getting older, so I'd quite like to be closer to her as she gets older. Because that's one of the sad things about living abroad, is you do miss people and family.
Right. Yeah. Are there any, I mean, either, you know, when you first came here or even now, are there moments that you felt, like, particularly welcome or unwelcome?
In America? I've always felt very welcome in America. Americans are very good to, certainly New Yorkers are very good to immigrants, and are very interested in people from other places.
Mm-hmm.
They're generally very nice about it. I don't think that would be... I suspect that would not be the same in Scotland. I think people are a little bit more closed off in Scotland than they are here, which is something I appreciate.
Yeah. I imagine, I mean, there's a lot less immigration in Scotland.
Yeah. people are a little more, more culturally closed off to a certain extent. They kind of, America has a culture, even though there are problems with immigration politically. It has a culture of immigration, so it's a country full of immigrants.
Right.
And you have to kind of, that's part of your life. You just take the people have strange names and strange accents, and that just becomes a normal thing. Where I think in a culture where people haven't immigrated so much, like Scotland, then people are more scared or more prone to make jokes about people with funny names, for example, which I don't like that much. I think that's mean.
Yeah, right. Well, with all the moving around we did, was there like particularly a place that really stuck with you that you really liked the best?
I really liked the best. I mean, I loved Italy. Italy's a fabulous place to be. Very frustrating in lots of ways, the ways that it doesn't work. You expect it to be a first world developed country, but it really, the infrastructure is so strange and weird that it doesn't. So I had expectations of living in Italy, which were just a little bit like frustrated. And I had no expectations about living in Africa, but in many ways they were excelled because the people were so good.
Right.
And I would love to go back to Tanzania or Kenya at some point again and see the people I've friends I've made there, because that was the thing that made the biggest difference to my life and the way I see the world and the way I perceive people and how we deal with each other and just kindness. I think kindness was the most impressive thing about Africa. It felt so big and open, but at the same time very kind of intimate and human. And I was very impressed by that. That really has a strong impact on my life, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, because you grew up in a pretty small town.
Yeah.
You moved to Canada, which was probably less small, right? But
Very small, Canada.
Oh, really?
The community in Canada where I lived doesn't even exist anymore. It's so small.
Yeah. Right, so you basically grew up in, like, tiny, tiny towns.
Yeah, the Hick.
Now that you don't live in New York anymore, but you have lived in New York for about 15 years.
Yeah.
How do you think, like, if you were to go back to living in a small town, would you like it, or would it be, like, weird to adjust back?
I do like peace and quiet. I think I need to have access to a large town culture.
Mm-hmm.
I do like things like the theatre and cinema and so forth, and I would miss that if it wasn't available. So I would like to live in a quiet place which is not that far from a large town. That would be great. So living in Jersey City is kind of like that. It's quite peaceful here, but it's accessible to New York, so that's great.
Right.
Unfortunately, with the pandemic, we don't really have access to anything anymore, but I think if I was ideally choosing a place to live, it would be a small-ish town with reasonable shopping, reasonable places to buy food, but at the same time, you know, within less than an hour you can be in a big city.
Right.
That'd be ideal.
Yeah. And being a comic artist, it kind of gives you more flexibility with that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I can live anywhere. I have lived everywhere.
Yeah.
And done the same job. Mm-hmm. The internet, because as we moved out around the world back in the 90s, the internet was just developing in places like Italy and Africa, so that I could basically be anywhere I wanted and my editors didn't know where I was. I remember telling my editor in San Diego that I lived in Kenya, and he was completely shocked. He just thought I was in New York like everyone else.
I mean, obviously you and my mom did a lot of moving around before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, after, for a little bit before we moved to America. Were there any kind of expectations you had that I would churn out? Like, was there, like, did you basically have any kind of ideas of how I would be as a person?
Personally?
How I grew up? Yeah.
I don't had ideas about you as who you'd be as a person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'd be our person, so you'd be like us in lots of ways. I think we had a good deal of control over where you would grow up, and that was a big choice that we made in Kenya, that you would probably grow up in the developed world. In America or Europe, because we thought the kids who grow up in Kenya, I mean, they grow up in a very privileged environment, with comparative wealth. Because even if you are not like an average middle class income, you live in Kenya, you are wealthy.
Right.
You can afford houses with servants and multiple cars and live that life, and your children grow up with that expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you grow up in international schools with other children who are also very privileged.
Right.
And we made a very clear conscious decision that that was not going to be the way we did this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if we'd stayed in Kenya, you would almost certainly have like three or four brothers and sisters by now, because it's an awful lot easier to have kids there. It's very easy to have children in Africa because you get tons of help. And
right.
you can pay people to look after your kids, and you can have a big house, and you can have multiple cars, and you can have drivers to take your kids to football practice, to various schools and concerts. And the
right.
infrastructure there is very good, and there's an awful lot of things. If you want to live that expatriate lifestyle, it's very nice and very comfortable. It was very
mm-hmm.
seductive, and we almost did that. But we decided
right.
that it would be better if you were to grow up in the developed world and you understood that life as your kind of baseline. And
right.
then afterwards, you will travel. And I know you'll travel, so that's
yeah.
fine. You'll work it out.
How do you think me moving around a lot and being kind of very international, because I'm not American, but I've lived here basically my whole life. How
mm.
do you think that's like changed me or like, yeah, made me like the person I am basically?
I think you're by default open to other cultures because you've every year you've gone to stay in France and Scotland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you don't have an entirely American expectation of life, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
You have been a few other places in the world.
Right.
You're culturally speaking American.
Yeah.
More than you are anything else. But I think you're probably more open than most people are to the world as a whole, which is what we would want.
Mm-hmm.
You're multilingual,
yeah.
certainly more than I was at your age, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
You have all the world in front of you, the possibilities to travel.
Yeah.
And you've chosen a career which will probably help you make you travel a lot,
right.
if you choose to do, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really all we wanted as for you as a person was to give you as many choices, interesting choices as possible.
Yeah.
And traveling is one of the fundamental things that was very important to your mother and I, that you should be a citizen of the world.
Right.
And not locked into one place too much.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, how do you think it went, like, when you first started kind of traveling, when you met my mom and, like, she was French and, like, that's, like, a whole different culture than you had known,
mm-hmm.
basically. How was that kind of...
I mean, my family had always had a kind of affinity for French culture because my father taught himself to cook with French recipe books at
mm-hmm.
university, and he was a big fan of French wine and French food and French culture. So we'd gone to France a few times on holiday when I was a kid,
mm-hmm.
and it was always kind of like Frenchness was kind of held up as a high bar for culture in our family. So meeting your mum, it was like, oh, she's French, that's great. That's
mm-hmm.
that was very positive. And
right.
the fact that your mum is kind of footloose, doesn't really want to stay anywhere.
Yeah.
She's very mobile, very
yeah.
independent. So I found that very attractive because I felt that I was going to get stuck where
mm-hmm.
I was. I thought that if I stayed in my career, my comic book career, I basically stayed in Edinburgh and I would have been just another guy living in a small apartment in Edinburgh for the rest of my life. And that didn't seem very attractive.
Yeah.
Even, and I thought, well, I'm a comic book artist, I can do that from anywhere. And it was obvious that your mother was not going to stay anywhere for very
mm-hmm.
long, and that seemed very attractive at the time.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. It was a good time.
Yeah. So did you always like have that kind of dream of not, you know, of like leaving basically?
Well, I grew up when I was little, I was born in Scotland, and till the age of 4
mm-hmm.
I lived in Scotland, and then my parents emigrated to Canada.
Right.
And we lived in rural Canada until I was 6
mm-hmm.
or 7. So I first went to school in Canada. And I had this idea, and I remember I was talking about Sesame Street, but I saw Sesame Street when I was little in Canada, before people in Scotland saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And all my friends were Canadian or Mi'kmaq Indians, native Canadians. So I think that changed the way I saw the world. So when I came back to Scotland at the age of 4 or 5, I didn't fit in anymore.
Right.
I wasn't Scottish because I had an accent.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of alienated. And I think alienation is very important to people. If you are a creative person, being alienated is a very important thing because it forces you to look at your own world and yourself in a way that other people who are more comfortable don't do or don't have to do.
Right.
So I think that was a kind of crucial moment in my life. And from that point onwards, I knew that I wasn't ever going to stay in Scotland for a long time.
Right.
I thought that was, I would always, there's the rest of the world is open and available. And I thought that would be
mm-hmm.
part of my life. no matter what happened, I would somehow find a way. I had this dream when I was at college of just going to go and live in Arles, where Van Gogh lived.
Oh, yeah.
And just, like, draw Dole in Arles as an artist and just struggle to live there.
Right.
Because I thought, it'd be nicer there. Which is true, actually. It's lovely. Maybe one day.
Don't cut your ear off. But do you think, you know, if you would go back to live in Scotland now, do you still feel the kind of sense of alienation?
I think I'm always going to feel that. I think once you have that as a child, you always have it.
Right.
But that's fine. You learn how to deal with that, and that's fine. I think Scotland has changed a lot too.
Yeah.
It's become much more liberal, much more open, and more progressive, and I like that a lot. I know a lot of people there. I think I don't feel that sense of inadequacy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I have anything to prove about myself anymore because I've done all these things.
Yeah.
So I can come and kind of go to Scotland and sort of settle down and be comfortable with mm-hmm. my world and make my world in Scotland again.
Right.
I think that would be fine. I don't feel the need to prove anything anymore. I don't need to get out. I don't need to escape anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I was young, I needed to escape. That was a big thing for
right.
me, to get out of the community I lived in, which was very claustrophobic.
Mm-hmm.
And just get out and get out and get out and get out until you go as far as you can go.
Mm-hmm.
And then slowly you start to come back in again.
Right. Interesting. Well, thank you. That's all
Welcome.
The questions I have.
Hmm.
So thank you for coming to this couch and talking to me. Anyway.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Cool.